that I'm sure you're familiar with. You probably have read it many times. It's found in Romans, the 12th chapter. And I think it's very apropos that it's in the 12th chapter, and it's the first verse. 12 is the number of government, and of course we're talking about divine government, we're talking about God's government, and in order to be in God's government, there are certain aspects or certain principles that we have to abide by, and there is a certain lifestyle that is required of us. Most of Christianity really has lost the objective of what it was that God intended in the beginning when he made man. And when he made him for a specific reason. And he gave man a certain amount of time to achieve that objective. The objective that he wanted to achieve was found in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. And it says, "Let us make man in our own image, and in our own likeness." And those words, you can try to make them metaphorical or whatever, but really in the Hebrew language, they mean just exactly what they say. The image that we have of God, the image that we are made in the likeness of God, and I'm really not going to go into it too much this evening concerning that, is that we are a triune being. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. And that those three parts make up and present to the world at large an image. God is a triune being. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those aspects of his being are identical to the aspects of what he created as far as man is concerned. Now, man was created different than any other thing that God created. Man was the only thing that has the breath of God in it. It says that when man was created in the dirt, in the dust, that God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, the aspect, though he was made out of the dirt, there was an aspect that was foreign to the dirt that was bequeathed to him by the breath of God. And that breath of God created within that clay the potential, the ability for what he had made that is now called man to become like him. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that. When you are born again, you're not just saved from hell. You're not just going to heaven. And I think that's the philosophy of most of Christianity. Get saved, jump over hell and into heaven. And that is not the theme of the story. The theme of the story is to get saved or you be born again so that you might have the potential to facilitate God and do what it was that God wanted done when he created Adam. Adam was a prototype. It is like a drawing that an architect would draw of a house that you want to build. You know, the architect doesn't give you all the bones of the drawing at the beginning. What he draws, or at least in the States, this is what they do. They draw a house, and they make it a finished house. They make it with the shrubberies, the landscaping, and all of the things that are around about the house. And in the house, they even go to the point of making it a finished picture with all of the fixing in the house and everything. So, and then they walk you through that drawing so that they whet your appetite as to what it is that they're trying to sell you so that you might give them money to build your house. Praise the Lord. Well, the thought or the idea, as far as God is concerned, he made a prototype. He made a being that he called man that had all of the potential to become like God. Now, if you look in that first chapter of Genesis, you will find that when he made man in his own image, it says, "In the image of God created he them, male and female." And created he them. And it says nothing about his likeness. It has nothing about his likeness. Not in that particular, not in those particular chapters, but the thought or the idea in God, in God's mind, is that in what God was doing and what he did concerning Adam, Adam had the total potential to become like God. Hallelujah. And we see evidence in that in the scripture. Because there was a man called Enoch. And Enoch was the grandson of Adam. And Adam lived, I would say, up to about the last quarter of Enoch's life. Adam was in existence. And there had to be a communication going on between Adam and his grandson concerning what it was that he had with God in the beginning. Hallelujah. You know, in many of the African countries prior to education and university and all of those things, you learn by the passing down, the passing on of the thoughts, the traditions, the ideas, the concept of who and what you were, what you are as a people. You pass that down by mouth to mouth. You didn't necessarily have the books, or at least they didn't used to. You would pass it along. The older people would share with the younger people those things that pertain to their history of who they were and what they wanted to achieve. And you know, in all of that, we came out of that with something of a national pride as far as who and what we are. We came out of that with certain characteristics because of that position or that place of sharing. Well, that is the very low realm of sharing. The high realm of sharing is when Adam walked with God. And you have to imagine now, what would it mean to walk with God? Hallelujah. What would you talk about? Well, we have a little story in the Bible that kind of illustrates the business of God and how he wants to relate to individuals that he would call his friends. Hallelujah. We have the story of Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham had a very close and intimate relationship with a living God. It got to such a point and such a place in that relationship that God called Abraham, God, an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God, called a mortal man his friend. Hallelujah. That just kind of blows my mind. That man had to have a character. That man had to have an integrity. That man had to have a closeness of a relationship with this living entity that the Bible calls Jehovah. Hallelujah. But God did not disdain or look down upon Abraham. He said, Abraham is my friend. And I don't know if we really understand the relevance of that. When I call somebody my friend, I am equating that person. I'm equating that person on a certain level that is equal with me. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, unless two agree, what? Huh? They cannot walk together. Then again, the Bible says, be ye what? Be ye not unequally yoked. Hallelujah. So I don't think God is going to violate his own principles. And so when he comes upon a situation, he goes to the man's house for lunch. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes to man's house for lunch. But that isn't the totality of it. The totality of it is, it was in God's mind, he had a specific reason for visiting Abraham. And the Bible says that God said, should I not tell my friend Abraham what I am about to do? Hallelujah. You know, it was as much for as Abraham's benefit as it was a pleasure for God to come and to share this intimacy, because he wanted to know, or he wanted to see the behavior of Abraham in it. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. if maybe we was she was just kind of testing Abraham a little bit to see if some of that that fellowship and that intimate times of talking and the character of what he was had rubbed off on Abraham a little bit. I don't know. Hallelujah. But when he began to tell Abraham about what he was going to do, the man had the audacity. The man had the audacity to not question God, but to confront him in the aspect of what he was going to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And now he didn't do it just once. He did it a number of times until finally he got down to the last little bit and that he could do. And you know, Abraham must have had some thought. You know, can I do it one more time? Can I go one more step? Can I lower the odds just a bit more? But it came to that point. And Abraham, and the thing about it was that God agreed with Abraham. It's just mind-boggling that an omnipotent, almighty God, an omniscient God who knows everything, will listen to the counsel of a mortal man. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, what I am sharing with you is the thought of what it is that God wants with you and I as individuals, what God is desirous to have in a relationship. Hallelujah. Not something of an entity that's way out there, that's mystical, that's undefined, that is somewhat vague or smoky or foggy. You can't really relate to it. No, 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 no. God wants to be like that close, intimate friend that you have. If you have ever had one, hallelujah. Someone you can talk to. Not only that you can talk to, but that they will talk to you. And you can share your thoughts and your intimate things without fear of repercussion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place where man was created to come to a position of fullness in God. And that place is again identified in Genesis chapter 1 when it says he gave the commandment and God said to the man, take dominion and bring all things into subjection unto yourself. Hallelujah. That's paraphrasing it, of course. Hallelujah. So there was an authority given to man, and that all of that operation in that environment, all of that operation in that communing and walking and talking with God, all of which was going on, was God giving an example, an ensample. He was instructing Adam in a manner of fashion or in a way that you and I might be able to understand the architectural drawing of what it was that God wanted at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to be like God, you have to overcome the aspect of what the Bible calls darkness. In Galatians, I think it's in chapter 5, I'm not real sure, you can look it up and correct me if I'm wrong, but it gives us the attributes of darkness. Isn't that the one that gives us...
Well, that's where it talks about... The fruits of the Spirit.
Well, okay. No, I want them both. No, this is chapter 5. I had it right. It gives us a list of... It gives us an idea of what it is that the Bible calls darkness. And these are attributes of human character. And now, in the Bible, and as it's listing them... it is the ultimate, it is the totality, the pinnacle of wickedness. You understand what I'm saying? But all of these things, all of these attributes, all of these things that are what the Bible calls darkness, start in little fashions and form. Hallelujah. For it says, let's do verse 12. Verse 13. For brethren, we have not been called unto liberty... we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Hallelujah. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye what? Bite and devour one another, take heed, ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, when the Bible says walk in the Spirit, what does it mean? Does it mean you have this fuzzy-wuzzy feeling? Does it mean that you are speaking in times, the tongues at the whole time of your being and concentrating in that respect? No. To walk in the Spirit means to allow the light, the righteousness of God to be manifested in your character. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, just put your finger there, and you could even probably write a little note there. I want to go back over to Romans. I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. And it's very pertinent. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And Romans 8 tells you the principles of that new beginning. Romans 8, praise the Lord. You can just put a little note there in Galatians. Romans 8, therefore, verse 1, there is now no condemnation. You could just as well put the word judgment. There is now, therefore, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is it saying? It's saying that if you do not walk, if you walk in the light, if you walk in the righteousness of God, if you walk in the character, if you manifest the character of God in your point, in your times of tribulation and trouble. Hello? Hallelujah. If you walk in this position of righteousness, and do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I ask you a question. What if you read the verse in converse? Huh? Okay, let me read it in converse, if I may. Therefore, there is now condemnation to them that are not in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh. Hello? Hallelujah. You can read your Bible in converse. It means I have a choice to make. I have a decision to make. I can walk in the flesh or I can walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. So sin and death and condemnation and flesh are all one in the same thing. They're all one and the same thing. They're different words that describe different aspects of it, but it has one picture, and that picture is darkness. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to go over here to verse 13. Now, remember what it said here over in Galatians. It said, it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how do we walk in the Spirit? Verse 13. Hallelujah. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? Mortify. What does mortify mean? It means to kill. That doesn't mean being dead. That means to kill. That's an aggressive action. That's a position or a place of responsibility. That's something of initiative that I have to take. Now, we're talking about the actual attributes of our character. Now, remember, the verse I really wanted to read was, where was it?
Romans 12.
Talking about the government of God, and it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what? That ye what? Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, Did you hear it? Hallelujah. You can present your body as a... you can present your body as a sacrifice, but if it's unholy, it's unacceptable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I beseech you, brethren, as a holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. That's just medium. That's just getting by. That's just getting there. This, if you want to just get there, this is what you have to do. This is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. So we come back over here. We come back over here to Romans 8. And it says, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of our body, ye shall live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need to understand the concept of what it is that God is saying to us in the aspect of what He has given us that we call Christianity. Hallelujah. Well, you could better say that Christianity is an opportunity. Christianity is an opportunity, or it makes available to you and I the potential to fulfill the will of God in becoming like Him. Hello? Hallelujah. The word Christian is a word that is derived, means to be like Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. And then again, and I believe it was the Galatian church earlier on here in Galatians, where Paul was lamenting the condition of these Christians. Hallelujah. Or maybe it was a little later on, I'm not quite sure. But he was lamenting their position of humanity and the position of bondage that they were under concerning their natural surroundings. And what he cried was that he was in a position of travail, that what? Christ would be formed in them. Hallelujah. So the whole idea of Christianity is to come to a position or a place where we're able to receive the seed of God that has within it the potential to produce that entity that is called Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Christ is not just singularly a representation of a man called Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ is an entity or a seed that is impregnated within every soul that is born again. Hello, did you hear it? Born again. Hallelujah. I was born once into the family of Azazel, but now I am born again. That means I've been removed or taken out of the family of Azazel, and I have been put in the family of God. Hallelujah. So I am no longer in the natural sense, I am no longer bound by the law of Azazel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But the devil doesn't want you and I to know that. He doesn't want us to know that. He wants me to think that I'm still German, that I'm still English, I still have a temper, I still have lust, I still have all of these different perverse things that are in my family, of my family, and belong solely and totally to my family. Hallelujah. And every time he gets the opportunity to push that button, he pushes it. Now, how do I respond? What do I do? Hallelujah. Do I get angry because somebody else makes me angry? Do I get depressed because of a circumstance that is around me? Do I become erratic or in my thinking and in my aspect of living because of my environment or the situations or the pressures that are pressing in on me? Hallelujah. Well, if I'm living in Azazel, yes, I probably will. I'll probably fail every test. However, I am not of the family of Azazel. I am of the family of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I do not have a natural father. I have a spiritual spiritual father. Again, Romans says, we have been given what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, are they just religious terms? Yes, most of the time they are. We do not have the understanding of what, where, and what it is that we have by virtue of being born again. We think being born again is getting into a religious environment, working in that environment to the capacity that we can do until the time of the end when Jesus comes and I am taken into heaven. Hallelujah. If that's what you're doing, you're going to miss God. Hallelujah. If you have a job to do and somebody gives you a job to do in your business and you don't do that job, you're not going to get rewarded. You're going to get chastised. Hallelujah. In some manner or some fashion, you're going to be chastised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in there some manner or another, if we do not do or accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish, there's going to be a retribution concerning that non-accomplishment. Now, what it is, the magnitude of it, I suppose, depends upon the individual and the case circumstances in which they are under. But I can tell you what, if we do not push to achieve the objective that God has set for humanity. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how you look at it, but when it says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, have you ever thought of it? Huh? The first thing you need is fire. Hallelujah. First thing you need is fire. And that fire has to be, can't be a little fire. It has to be a big fire, because you're going to put something on it and you're expecting that something that you put on it to be consumed by the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is a promise in the Bible, and it says, out of ashes, I shall bring beauty. Hallelujah. Where is that scripture, by the way? Maybe we could find it. It says, out of ashes shall beauty come forth. Hallelujah. So you see, the fire has the ability to change the molecular structure of whatever it is you put in the fire. Hallelujah. It has it.
It's Isaiah 61.
Yeah, Isaiah 61. Let's just look at that a minute. Being as it comes to my mind. Fire is an agent that brings changes. Isaiah 61, what?
Verse 3.
Yes. Verse 3. As of to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, what that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Brethren, you're talking about a tribulating set of circumstances. Hello? Do you hear it? Hallelujah. In order to be a recipient of all of this, you have to be, there has to be mourning. There has to be heaviness. There has to be ashes. Hallelujah. Well, let's do it in order. There has to be ashes. There has to be mourning. There has to be heaviness. Praise the Lord. Now, Zion is peculiar in that it's identifying a certain position of a people in relationship to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are believing in the aspect of coming into a place that the Bible in Romans chapter 8 calls the sons of God. That terminology that is used there is a terminology that describes Zion. So Zion and the sons of God are one and the same thing. Hallelujah. So it says that you, it says here, so we have a time of tribulation, a time of trouble. Hallelujah. A time of offering our bodies as living sacrifices. Hallelujah. So you have to have fire. You have to have fire. Brethren, there are two types of tribulation that is designed for Christians. Hallelujah. Two types of tribulation. First tribulation is tribulation for sin. Hallelujah. You go out and you do something, you commit a sin, and all of a sudden you get tribulated. Hallelujah. Go into a store and pick up something and put it in your pocket and walk out the door without paying for it. You get caught. You get tribulated. You're tribulated. That's tribulation for sin. Hallelujah. It was tribulation that probably brought you to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But there's tribulation for sin is synonymous with the outer court. Hallelujah. And what it stands for. Praise the Lord. But the inner court, the holy place, the tribulation that we are supposed to be confronting in that arena is the tribulation for the sake of righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tribulation for sin you deal with by repenting.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When you repent, you deal with tribulation. You deal with the tribulation for sin. The tribulation for righteousness is a tribulation by which you and I must abide and manifest the opposite of what that tribulation wants to work within our character. Hello? If the tribulation is a tribulation that is pushing us to be angry, we have to be what? What is the opposite of being angry? Huh? Isn't it being joyful? Huh? And doesn't the Bible says, count it all joy with divers?
Tribulation.
Diverse tribulation? That means many. Not just one. It means many tribulations. So you have it coming from this point. You have it coming from this point. And you have it coming from this point. Hello? Hallelujah. That tribulation that you have, if you are an inner court, if you're a holy place person, that tribulation is supposed to be doing for you what the fire does for the offering that you put upon the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the character, hallelujah, the character that we are destroying is the character that is described in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and be ye, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so we cannot do the things that we would. Now, that is almost a reiteration of Romans chapter 7. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, let me just qualify that, if I may, so you don't get a misunderstanding. Hallelujah. He is not excusing sin. He's identifying the source of sin. He is pointing to the root of your and my problem. Hallelujah. And once the root is exposed, we are supposed to take the axe and put it to the root. Hello? Hallelujah. So, verse 21, I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I say, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see, it's a mind thing. Do you hear me? It's a mind thing. Hallelujah. The devil wants to set a mind tone, a mindset. He wants you to think in a certain way. In every given type of situation. So he works the situation, whether it's frustration, depression, lust, anger, whatever it may be, he wants to work that situation where that attribute takes control of your mind, and your mind gives it the authority and the power to manifest itself. Hallelujah. 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 And brethren, these are keys that God is giving us as Christians who desire to be like him. Now, if you don't desire to be like him, this is all useless information. But if you want to be like God, then there is a prerequisite, there is a position or a place, a responsibility that you and I have to perform and to do what needs to be done. And brethren, no one else can do it for you. No one. It makes no difference who does what. No one else can do it for you. You, by your own volition, by your own choice, must present your body as a living sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's not a matter of somebody else pushing you into the fire. Hallelujah. He says, verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Hallelujah. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? From the body of this death. He says, I thank God. Through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I serve myself, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Hallelujah. Now, he's not leaving us in that quandrum. You know, you would think that's kind of a bad way to stop a chapter. Hallelujah. But we have chapter 8. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And he begins to tell us in chapter 8 how to go about wrestling with this law of sin and death that is in our members. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we read it before. Let us read it again. Therefore, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what does it mean, them that are in Christ Jesus? It means in Christ Jesus, you walk as Jesus would walk. You do what Jesus would do. You think how Jesus would think. Oh, and don't tell me it's an impossible situation. If it was an impossible situation, the verse wouldn't be written there. It's impossible in our human thinking. Sometimes we just want to feel bad. Sometimes we just want to be angry. Sometimes we just want this and we want that. Things that are not appropriate. Things that are not conducive to righteousness. Things that are not that do not facilitate the will of God in our life. These are attributes. These are characteristics. These are makeups of our being, of our soul, of who and what we are, that God has to bring us into a place by which they might be consumed by that fire of tribulation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Jusiel told the story one time. He had a temper and anger, and he was very violent in it. And he was asking God to deliver him and deliver him. And one day he got into a confrontation. Somebody began to swing on him and hit him and push him around. And that was totally contrary to his nature. Hallelujah. And he said that in the time frame, he had to grit his teeth, and he said, and he had to make his mind think on God. The guy was hitting him. Hallelujah. Plummeted him, you know. And the devil's over here telling him how to hit him and what to do and what not to, and how to bring the guy down. But he said that as he was resisting, sweat began to break out on his head and just roll down his face. But at the end of the day, he had beat the spirit. He had brought it to a place, he had broken the back of it. And in that instant, that holy laughter that came and the joy of the Lord, they thought he was all crazy. They all thought he was crazy. But what he had done, he had overcome. He had broken the back of that spirit because he would not give the opportunity to his flesh to move in a manner that would allow that spirit to again have control of his mind and of his body. Hallelujah. His body wanted to hit the man. He had to hold his body. Now, the strength of his being had to hold his body down to keep his body from moving voluntarily of his own will. Hallelujah. When it says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, we're not talking about a walk in the park. We're not talking about a walk in the park. We're not talking about a time of ease and cool breezes and sweet conversation and good food and good fellowship. We are talking about fire. Fire. Mental, emotional, fire in our inward being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because we have something in us that is far greater than the fire. Hallelujah. Doesn't the Bible say something about fire? And go through the fire and you shall not be burned? Huh? Hallelujah. Can you imagine something being not burned? Now, it's not being burned in the sense of it being charred. It's like the bush that Moses saw that was engulfed in flame, but it wasn't burning. Hallelujah. We're talking about a fire that is to work within us, the element of change. Fire is a changing substance. You put wood in there, it changes the molecular structure of the wood entirely. You cannot even tell what kind of wood it was, where what shape it was in, what form. The entire makeup of the ashes is different than the makeup of the wood. Hallelujah. And you put some metals into fire, and those metals they turn to liquid. They lose their shape. They lose their form. And they lose the value of what it was they were before they were in the fire. However, you can put some things in the fire, and in the fire just makes the thing better. Hallelujah. You put silver in the fire. Hallelujah. And you boil it to a certain point, and you bring it to that, and all the impurities of that silver come to the top. You put gold in the fire. It doesn't consume the gold. It brings the impurities of the gold so that the gold that you have at the end of the day is a pure form of gold than what it was before you put it into the fire. Hallelujah. And it's to be, we are to put on that type of, we are to put on that type of covering. Hallelujah. You know, if you look at the tabernacle, the inner court, the holy place, it was gold, 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 gold. Everywhere was gold. It was the boards were covered with gold. The instruments they used were gold. The altars were covered with gold. They all had the wood and gold, wood covered with gold. Gold is indicative of the nature of God, and wood is indicative of the nature of man. Hallelujah. There is a process. There is a change. We have to look at tribulation differently than what we have been looking at. We cannot look at it, oh, poor me. Here I go again, down the same road, down the same path, through the same set of circumstances. Oh, my, everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat a worm. Hallelujah. That's the way we normally respond. You may not use those words, but we respond in this position. We respond from a self-centered position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I don't know, maybe you've never prayed it. Go to God and say, God, I'm hurting. God, I'm hurting. I'm in trouble here. Lord, this is happening here. God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What am I doing in the midst of all of this thing? Again. Hallelujah. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. I can't say it enough. Wrong attitude. It brings no gold. It brings no gold. All that manifests is the dross. It brings no gold. Hallelujah. I have to have a different perspective. Okay, I'm in this tribulation. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's killing me. But yes, I believe in the aspect of the reality that at the end of the day, there's going to be something greater that is given to me because I have experienced it. Hallelujah. That's fertile ground. That is ground that now is ready to bring forth something that is worth value. Hallelujah. 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 So when God told Adam, I think I'll just turn over there for a minute. I want to get it quoted right. And God told Adam and Eve, now this is just not a man thing, nor is it just a woman thing. Hallelujah. Because when God was speaking to them, He was speaking to them. He wasn't speaking to them individually. He was speaking to them collectively. Hello? And the commission that was given to Adam was given to Eve. There's a part that Eve has to play. There's a part that Adam has to play. And every Eve has to know the part that they have to play. And every Adam has to know the position and the place and the responsibility that he has concerning his position, his part in the game plan. Hello? Hallelujah. You have different, you have your football. Now, I'm not going to go, I don't know some of the terminology for the soccer, but I do know it for the football that they play in the state. You have a quarterback, you have a halfback, and you have guards, and different linemen there with different responsibilities. They have different responsibilities. The quarterback can't take the place of the guard, and the guard can't take the place of the quarterback. Hallelujah. And the sinner can't take the place of the guard or the quarterback, nor they take the place of the sinner. Hello? Each of them have their own position of assigned responsibility. And it's the same way in God concerning who and what we are, male or female. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know something? There are some female devils that females have to overcome. Hallelujah. And there are some male devils that males have to overcome. And the male devils will work on the males, and the female devils will work on the females. Hello? Hallelujah. And they're going like this all the time. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed the spirit of competition between men and women? No, you've never seen that, right? Hallelujah. You don't have to deal with that, right? No, you do too. You know you do. Hallelujah. And God blessed them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, remember, brethren, we're in a different spiritual environment. We're in a spiritual environment. They had not yet fallen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. You know, if he given everything, every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth, that means that their own being, their own soul, their own bodies were under the jurisdiction of that command, of that authority. And brethren, this is where God has brought us back to. When we are born again, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the tool by which God utilizes the spiritual realm to bring it down into a physical manifestation within a man or a woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we are to understand the concept. We're to understand the precept. We're to understand the position or the expectation that God has for you and I as born again people. Hallelujah. So when you read the Bible, and it says things like, present your bodies as living sacrifices, I encourage you to stop and think. I encourage you to ask God, how is it that I am to be that living sacrifice? How am I to accomplish it? And what will it be that you want to accomplish in my doing it? Hello? Ask God some questions and let him have the opportunity to tell you. So praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen.